Well, we feel like the Lord's been talking to us a little this week about our choices, and we'd sure like the Lord to bless our time this morning, so we'd appreciate your prayers. I was thinking about a passage of Scripture over in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 15th verse, and the children of Israel are receiving some instruction here, and Moses is talking to them about their covenant with the Lord, and he says to them, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." I want to read one more here. "That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." You know, this morning, the Lord has not commanded our life in such a way that we don't have decisions that we have to make. He has not made our life in such a way that it is just the way it is, and we don't have any choices in the matter. But he has given us a whole lot of latitude in our life about what we choose. And he told us here at the very outset, it says, see, now this is after a chapter or two admonition from the Lord. He said, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." I want us to think a little bit this morning about what the Lord has given here. His inspired word and his inspiration to these people has a direct connection between life and good and between death and evil. You know, he gives us, and he openly gives us, the choice and the decision of our life. The Lord does that. He gives us those choices, and we have the power to make them. But what we don't have the power to do is to deal with the consequences. Because there's many consequences that come that we don't have the power to deal with. And we can't change that. We can change our choices, but we cannot change the consequences for them. We want to remember that as we go through these little thoughts this morning. You know, it says there in the 19th verse, "I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death." It doesn't mean against you. It means I've brought this, I'm bringing this to you. I want you to know how sure this is, and I want you to know of these things. And he says, "I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing." And he says, "Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You know how important our choices are this morning? You know, it's not just a day that we're dealing with. It's not just you and me that we're dealing with. There's so much that hinges on you and I's choices today. And I believe the Lord, one place, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I'll take you and do that for you, and I'll bless you with life. You know, there's a pretty big gap between life and death, isn't there? You can have all the same members. You can have all the same body. You can have hair on your head and all of those things. But folks, there's a huge difference between life and death. And he said, now choose life. So he's admonishing you and me to make some choices that really matter in our life for the rest of our life. Now, many people, and we find, I've been reading through the Old Testament and the New as well, and I've been amazed at the differences of choices and the differences that it brings in their lives. King after king after king, it's magnified on that level. You and I'll never be on those kind of levels. I'm probably none of us here. But you know what? King after king, you see one, and he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. And you see the Lord beginning to bless and pour out his richness in their lives and the wisdom that he gave them and the goodness of God that came to those people. And then the next king, it'll say, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, it doesn't say in his own eyes. It says in the sight of the Lord. And so when we look at these things, we're looking at them from God's perspective. And so he says, now choose life that you and your children might live and your children's children might have life in their lives. And as we said, the difference between death and life is pretty tremendous. We look at just one aspect of it, and it's not the smallest aspect, and that is eternal life. That's beyond this life. We look at that one aspect of it. And I think about the difference between death and life there. I think about the difference between heaven and a place of eternal punishment and torment. And my mind staggers at that. And it makes me want to say life, life, eternal life. Put my fingers in my ears. I must have eternal life. And so when we see the great difference in the consequences of our choices, it makes us to want to plead with God, Lord, help me to make good choices. And so he says, choose life that you may live. You know, it's not just eternal consequences. And I think sometimes we get that in our mind, and we think in our mind, but in this life, I want to enjoy the pleasures of sin. But I want to remind us of something, folks. In this life alone, there's a great contrast between life and death. There is a great contrast between life and death. There is a great contrast between sin and righteousness. You know, the Lord wants us to weigh these things up just a little bit and think about them just a little bit. Folks, there's something wonderful about life and peace. And we'll read a scripture about that in a minute. But you know that life and peace comes right along. The choices we make of life bring peace. The choices we make of righteousness brings many blessings. Now we may have our share of troubles too, but folks, we've got a boatload of blessings, every single one of us do. You know, those things come from the Lord. I just want to thank God this morning for that. You know, when we choose, our choices that we make affect so much in our life. When we choose spiritual things over carnal things, over the things of this life, you know, there's a real effect that happens from that in our life and in who we also have influence with. I want to look at someone here, and I'll just quote Galatians 3 and 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You know, I was thinking about faithful Abraham, and we'll go here in a minute to Genesis 13 and starting at verse 1. But here is a man that made choices just like we make choices. Here is someone that God talked to just like God has talked to you and me. You know, I wonder, and I've wondered many times, I wonder in my mind, how many Abrahams, I know Abraham had a special calling and a special place and all of that, but I wonder how many other people God had a really special place for, and he called them, but they chose the things of this life. I've wondered many times, I wonder what the picture would look like if everybody, if people had chosen a whole nother way and chosen the Lord's way and chosen life and righteousness. Wonder what things would be like in their life. Here was Abraham. You and I have a story, don't we? I wouldn't want to trade with anyone in sin. I don't know a single person I would want to trade with. But I will tell you, I believe that the blessing of the Lord, folks, it maketh rich. The scriptures tell us that. But the scriptures also tell us, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so maybe we'll look at a few things here. You know, Abraham, I want us to notice as we read through this little passage here, 15 verses. Abraham made choices to seek the Lord. He made choices to obey the Lord and to follow after the Lord. And so it says here, 13 and 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. You know, it says this little phrase here. I've noticed this at different times. I would love to just see into that picture. What does it mean, Abram called on the name of the Lord there? What do you think he did? What did he not do that every day? Did he not call on the Lord every day? But you know what? There was a special seeking, I believe. I believe because of the way the Lord deals with us today. I believe the Lord, Abraham was going along here and he came to this place where he had first built an altar. And there, perhaps he rebuilt that altar where he had sacrificed to the Lord. And he called, which verse was that? And verse 4. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know, this morning, it's so integral to our faith that we call on the name of the Lord. I believe there's more here than just that Abraham got down and said a prayer. I think Abraham, this was a special time. He stopped and sought the Lord. Lord, I need you. I'm real needy here. I'm moving. I'm just coming out of Egypt. Lord, I need direction. I need that same visit that you gave me last time. I need it again. And I'm seeking you. I just want to do your will. I want to serve you. I can hear him now praying in his prayer. Lord, accept my sacrifice. Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to follow you and I want to go where you want me to go. And I want you to help me. I want you to be in my life. I can hear his heart crying out to God like that. Because I don't know what all it meant. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. But I believe that it was a lot more than just a simple prayer. He probably offered sacrifices. He probably sought earnestly, oh Lord God, you made promises to me. Now Lord, I need your strength. And I need your help now to be able to live this thing. I need to be able, I'm in a strange land and Lord, every day I face new peoples and new dangers and I'm a man and I feel the weight of that and I feel the fear of these wicked nations and all of those things. Lord, I need you to help me. You know, this morning I just want to challenge us that we too call on the name of the Lord. That we become people who are familiar with the Lord. That we don't just go through life and say our little 2-minute prayer and take off and that's all. But we worship the Lord. We call upon His name. We serve Him. He becomes the center of our life and affections. That's something that comes by choice. The choices that we make. Do we just decide, I want to make heaven. And I've known people like this. That I believe that's all it's about. I want to make heaven, but I don't really want to serve the Lord with all my heart. You know, we have to give the Lord a choice from our heart. Lord, I want you to help me to want to serve you with all my heart. I want to be one of those that follows you with all my life and heart. And you know what the Lord will begin to do with that? He accepts that kind of sacrifice. And there's something that begins to burn in here. And there's something that begins to change. And God begins to work in our lives. And so this morning, I hope that we in our lives become people like that. Because we read on in this story and we see a whole nother picture of someone that really made choices too. Right alongside of Abram. And then they made choices too. There's a great difference, folks, between choices of life and good and death and evil this morning. And Lot also, verse 5, Genesis 13, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. They had great herds. And so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. You know, this morning, there's something wonderful about life and peace. Do you see what God worked in his heart? In Abraham's heart was life and peace. We're brethren. We want to be at peace, Lot. You know what? I know the Lord promised this to my posterity and all of that. But Lot, you just take your choice. What do you want? Just look out over the land. You want to go this way or you want to go that way? I'll take the one that you don't want. You know, wow, what kind of peace did that bring? And you know, he never became in a carnal struggle with Lot. He had something else that God was working in his heart. He was a man that sought the Lord. And he sought those things that were of God. You see, these are spin-offs of seeking the Lord. That kind of peace, that kind of peaceful creature, that kind of peaceful nature and person, that's what the Lord wants to put into our life. And so, so Abram said unto Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You know, I have to feel like this was a little bit selfish on Lot's part. I have to feel like Lot probably had not sought the Lord like Abraham had. And so, when time came for him to tuck his flesh in and be that kind of man, he chose, even though it was really Abraham's, he chose the best, didn't he? That's pretty natural, isn't it? It's human. It's the flesh is what it is. But it doesn't always bring life and peace. And sometimes these decisions that don't seem so big, they have great big results, don't they? And so we don't know how big our consequences or results are going to be from the choices that we make. And so I wonder what Lot was doing when Abraham was seeking the Lord. I wonder if Lot went over and said, Lord, I want you to be my God too. Now, I don't think Lot was a wicked man in his heart, but you know, I don't think Lot found the same place that Abram did. And so it says, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, we all know a little about Sodom, don't we? Sodom, well, verse 13 goes on to say, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I want us to think for a minute. Lot didn't go down there and become wicked and sinful like they were. We have no record of that I know of. And the scriptures say in the New Testament, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And so we find Lot down here. He did what we would do maybe if we was not as close to the Lord as Abraham was there. And he just went where, hey, it's a lot more prosperous here. I'll go down here to this big city and, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that. You know, there's nothing wrong with living in a big city. But you see, his choices just were not made from the Lord. And it says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Somehow Lot chose some things that was very different from the things that Abram chose. And we see him here. We see, well, I'll read on through 15 and then maybe talk about it a little more. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. You know, I know Lot chose this land, but Abram, I want you to look up. I want you to look all the way around you. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Abram, this is your inheritance that I'm going to give you. The Lord was in touch with the Lord, wasn't he? And the Lord was working in his life. I have a hunch that Lot was not quite the same way. I think the Lord would have told Lot, don't go down there to Sodom. Don't pitch your tent towards Sodom. And I'll tell you what really makes me think that. Because when the fire of the Lord's wrath fell upon Sodom, he lost everything he had. Everything. He lost his wife after that. He lost his son-in-laws through that. He lost all his dignity. I believe he lost his flocks and everything because the Lord rained fire and brimstone on that whole area. And as far as I have a hunch that's where the Dead Sea is today. It just went down so deep. It was so burned out. It's the lowest place on the face of the earth. But do you know this morning, Lot was down there in the midst of that. His choices took him there. He chose to set his tent toward Sodom. And you know what this morning? What are we choosing to set our tent toward? What is our heart's desires toward? And what are we looking for? Are we looking for those things of life and peace? And the things that bring life and peace, the choices of the Lord that we give him our life? You know, are we giving him some great deeds? No, we don't have much to give, but we do have our heart and life to give to the Lord. We can all do that. It is up to the Lord to take our life and use it in the way he would like. And so this morning, as we follow the Lord, let's set our desires as Abram did to seek the Lord, to seek the face of the Lord, to tarry before the Lord for some counsel and guidance. And let God be in the midst, reigning in our life. Because we've invited him there. Because by our choices, we've said, Lord, I want you to have your way. And I want you to work in my life. And I want you to lead me. And I want you to bless my children. And help me not to set myself too close to the world. You see, that's just the flesh, isn't it? It's just natural to set ourselves to the world. That's the flesh. But folks, if we'll follow the Spirit of the Lord closely, he'll tell us, I want you to withdraw yourself from being too close to the world. I have some blessings I want to give you. And these things are going to cost you. These choices are going to cost you. How are they going to cost us? Maybe eternally, maybe not eternally, but here Lot was, if you read the rest of the story, all his dignity was gone. Lot lost everything in that practically. And it could have been, I believe, so different. He didn't have to be there. He didn't have to be there and be so into all of that that he offered his daughters to these men at one time. I can't imagine that kind of loss of dignity and that kind of a loss from the Lord. But you know what? That's what the devil wants to do. But the Lord, when you look at Abram's life and you see a man, and what did he ever get? Did he ever have a palace? He lived in a tent all his life. And there he was. But you know what we have? We have a lot written about Abram. I don't know if there's any more written about anybody. Hardly. But we find him and we find his faith. We find the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. We find the Lord talking to him because of the choices he made. Because when the Lord talked to him the first time and said, get up, Abraham, get out of this place. I'm going to take you somewhere you don't know. Well, we don't like that to start with. I need to know what I'm doing. I need to know everything's secure. And the Lord would say, it is. In me, it is. But that takes faith, doesn't it? And that's why we follow Abraham. His faith, his courage, his obedience to the Lord, his seeking the Lord. And so this morning, the power of our choices are great. The Lord wants to change us. He wants to change who we are. He wants to change our character from someone fleshly like Lot to someone with a spiritual mind that hungers and thirsts after the things of righteousness. Can we do that this morning? I believe we can. I hope our heart's burning this morning. I hope our heart burns. That's what I want in my life. I want to be there. I want to do that. In Romans 8 and 5, Romans 8, verse 5, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do you know there's two whole worlds there? The world of the flesh and the world of the Spirit. If it says, they that mind, that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I know the Lord has to change this thing in here. He's got to change our heart. He's got to change our affections and our desires. But you know what? It is our choice that we let Him do that. It is our choice that we choose life. And we find here the same thing again. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But verse 6 says to be carnally minded is death. And so again we find the same things. It didn't go away because the Old Testament ended. The New Testament still tells us to be carnally minded, to be minded as a human, to be minded as a carnal person is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Do you know when we have our own carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's against Him. It's making war one with the other. Because the carnal mind wants the things of the flesh. It wants to be fed from the flesh. It wants to just be entertained and all of those things. But folks, it doesn't lead to life and peace. Will we believe it this morning in our life, each one of us? Some of us do and some of us may not. Do you know this morning, the choices that we make bring life and peace or they bring death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I just want to challenge us this morning. We're not going to have a long message. I want to encourage us. The things we give ourselves to matter. Whether we give ourselves to spiritual things, that's a choice we make. We're here this morning. That's a choice we made. That's a wonderful choice. The Lord loves that choice. You know, if our focus is to do the will of the Lord, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm going to seek you out. I'm going to spend my energy and time in your service, doing your will, whatever, Lord, whatever you lead me into. I just want to do that. I want to be a faithful man. And if you call for more, if you call for some service here and there, I want to be there. And I want to be in that vein. Do you know this morning, if we have that focus, that's where we'll be found. I know that may sound a little confusing. If that is our focus, that's where our life will be, if that's our focus. So this morning, let's focus ourselves. Making choices, the power of them are great. They greatly affect the rest of our life. Whether we act in carnal ways or whether we, by the grace of God, take the flesh and bring it under. Folks, every one of us have to do that. We have to bring under those inclinations that would take us away from God. And we have to resist and rebuke those things this morning. When there are spiritual things going on, where are we this morning? It shows our interests many times, our attitudes, the choices we make concerning our attitudes. Are we minding the flesh or are we minding the spirit in the way the things that we have on hand and on board? We say it's a small decision. All these things are small decisions, but they have big, big results, don't they? They do. They have big consequences in our lives. Do we mind the things of the flesh or do we mind the things of the spirit? It has a lot to do with you and me, and we want to make it to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. I remember when I was young how much I wanted to make it to heaven. I've made my share of mistakes, and I've had to go back sometimes. But I want to tell you something. I want to make it to heaven. Folks, let's make our choices to make it to heaven this morning. Let's choose life. And as a result and a consequence of that, it brings peace. It brings peace just like Abram and Lot. Their herdmen were angry at each other. They were striving. Hey, I got to have some of this water. Get out of our way. You had it first yesterday. They had all, but Abram, he had a different spirit, didn't he? There was something different. The Lord wants that difference. It's a beautiful difference. There's life and peace in the things of the Lord. I want to urge us this morning, as the Lord, through Moses' words, urged the children of Israel, now choose life. That thou and thy seed might be blessed. Choose life. It'll bless us today if we'll do that. Choose life when the things of the world come knocking at our door. And it seems like that temporary day of pleasure is just, we just got to have it. No. Folks, choose life. Just choose the Lord's way. Choose the Lord's way and make it the focus of our life. When we were young, I wanted so bad to make it in. And I decided back then, I'm going to make the choices all my life. I'm going to make the choices that will make me make it in. You know, that's a choice we make, folks. If we allow ourselves, and sometimes it's the flesh will get to having a little too much sway and too much involvement in this or that or whatever. Maybe it's not wrong and sinful, but our choices to follow the Lord closely, to make it to heaven, that's a choice we make. and there's great consequences to it. There's great benefits. Oh, the blessing of the Lord, folks, one of my favorite scriptures. It maketh rich. It enriches our life on every hand. Is there anything the blessing of the Lord doesn't do that's good? I will tell you, if we think, well, it could be so much better, folks, see what death is like then. See what the world pays. See what their consequences are. See what their things are. Sure, everything hasn't been perfect in our lives, folks, but I want to tell you something. Choose life. It'll bring peace. The consequences of that, the things it brings, are worthwhile things. And when we lay this temple down, folks, there's an eternity of bliss waiting for you and me. Now choose life, that you and your seed might be blessed, that those that we have influence on might be blessed. I have just a couple other places here. John 10 and 9. Listen to this little passage here. I am the door. Now this is, we have heard this so many times, folks. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief, that sounds pretty good, because he was talking from a shepherd's viewpoint. I'm the door. And he said, if any man will enter in, he said, he'll go in and out. He shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. It's going to be good stuff for him. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But you know, the scripture says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Do you know this morning, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. He has plenty of long arms to reach out and get you and me. And oh, how he longs to this morning. And so I want to encourage us, all choose life. Maybe we'll read one more back here. It's in Joshua, I believe it's 24. Where Joshua was telling the people, just before he died, you know what he wanted to pass on? He said, and if it seem evil unto you, 24 and 15 of Joshua, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that little pronunciation there. He pronounced, you all serve who you want to. If you want to serve the gods of this world and all of those things, you go ahead. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I just wonder, is there anyone here this morning that wants to say, that's me? I'm going to step into that place. As for me and my house, I'm going to guide it like God wants it guided. I'm going to be the man of God that God wants me to be. I'm going to seek his face. While others are seeking pleasures and treasures, I'm going to be seeking the face of the Lord and to do his will. And you know what? He promised he'd give us all the rest that we need. We'll do that. That doesn't make us a person that doesn't succeed at anything. It doesn't make us a person that'll never have anything necessarily. It just makes us a person that will be blessed with life and peace. Y'all pray for me.